We are here for goodness sake. Hello family, this is Carol Worth with Saltapol LLC. Welcome to the second season of the Goodness Forum YouTube series and podcast, where goodness and positivity are openly discussed and amplified. Thank you for being here. Today's topic is gentle strength. And our guest today is Elijah Rodriguez. And so I'd like to let you tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Elijah. I've been in Spokane for about 5-6 years now. Well, actually, no, 7 years, apologies. Right now I'm currently working at Move Fitness as one of the managers. And basically my primary role right now is to make sure that all the trainers there are continuing to impact lives the best they can. And then as well as with my clientele, try to impact as many lives as well.
Yeah, and I see that, you know, and I actually did not know Elijah before. Really, this is our first time really meeting, but here's what I know is I've watched him. I go to Move Fitness, I train there, and I've watched him with his clients. And so today's topic, gentle strength, is really exactly what I see when I see Elijah with his clients. It's absolutely amazing. And so I'm going to read the quote today, and this is from Ralph W. Stockman. And here's the quote: "Nothing is so strong as gentleness, and nothing is so gentle as real strength." And so I would love for you to just talk a little bit about, because what I see when you're working with your clients, and sometimes they're older people or people who obviously haven't been involved in fitness much, and I also see you work with really obviously fit people, but the thing that across the board I see is that you're so kind and gentle with people. So I would love for you to just kind of talk about how it is that you see people and what is your sort of philosophy when you're working with people.
So I mean, it ultimately came to how I was raised. Okay, I mean, some of the circumstances that I've been through kind of brought me to my position to where I am now. So the background
where'd you grow up?
I grew up part Chicago, part Long Beach, and then a little bit of here as well. So I mean, my mom was an addict, but she always had the best intentions for myself, so she tried to instill as much knowledge and passion that she could into me. The biggest thing that she taught me was not to judge people. And so I've always kept that mentality with everything that I've done. I love people. Generally love people. I mean, they could be mean to me, they could be rude, they could look over me. I always try to find something good in that person, and I do the best I can to try to bring that out. So whether they're athletic, whether they can't walk, they can't see, I mean, I'm gonna do everything in my power to make sure that, again, I could impact that life as positively as I can. And so, I mean, I try to keep that mentality with everything that I do, everything that I'm part of. And so, I mean, it's just something that's me.
So when you were growing up, and I totally get, you know, I've been sober for a long time, so I get that arena of life. Was there a time when you were experiencing, like you said, people being mean or difficult situations that you chose this path to see the good in people? Was there an incident, or was it just, I'd love for you to just kind of tell our audience a little bit more about that, because I don't know that you see that, but it's absolutely extraordinary that you could come from difficult circumstances and have that kind of stand for people. So I'd love for you to tell people a little bit about where that comes from for you.
You know, I think the biggest thing that has done that for me was my mom. She's manic depressant, bipolar, over 30 years of chronic drug use. Yeah. So her being part of my life, her raising me, she was always manic-y, upbeat. She,
yeah.
but you could tell that she had history. I mean,
yes.
The skin was her jawline was really, really in. I mean, it was easy to tell. And so I was always embarrassed to bring her to any one of my events, because she was always the one that made a scene, whether it was congratulating someone, whether it's pointing something out in someone. I mean, she always made a scene. So it took me a very long time to realize that me being embarrassed of her, how it affected her, how much it hurt her.
Yes.
And so I don't want anyone to go through that kind of pain that I kind of put her through as far as when she was raising me. And so that's really, really what gets me to where I am right now.
So you made a choice. I mean, it was like a conscious choice to be this way. Like, and I, you know, I saw the gentle strength, but what I'm really hearing and what you're sharing is compassion. That you have a tremendous compassion for, and oh my gosh, I'm getting all welled up, but you have like a tremendous compassion for people and what they're dealing with.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. One of the, I mean, I have a client, she's 70 years old. I'd see her every Sunday. She flew off a cliff in a car.
Oh my goodness.
And she was paralyzed, so she couldn't move. And she's one of the biggest ones that I really value as far as a person and as a client as well. But she couldn't move. And then during the time, her husband did something to her that left her mentally scarred as well.
Mm.
And so she went to physical therapy. She went to the hospital, diabetes, everything. But everything that could happen to her bad has happened to her.
Right.
And she continues to push through. And I mean, when we first started working together about 4 or 5 months ago, she could barely walk. I mean, I honestly thought it was, and I'm sure it was, beyond my scope of practice, right?
Mm.
I mean, she could barely walk. A lot of chronic diseases. I mean, my job is to recommend what foods that you should be eating as far as being healthy and learning how to properly exercise,
right.
Proper mechanics, functional
sure.
movements. So it was a challenge, huge challenge for me. But I mean, every little thing that we take for granted, walking, stepping over something, picking something up, every little thing, when she accomplishes it, she's always clapping, always smiling, she gets super excited.
Yeah.
So
like grateful.
And that kind of gratification for me, I mean, that gets me going, and it continues to make me do what I want to do.
Absolutely. So I love that you said that it was beyond the scope of what you've been trained to do, and yet there you are doing it. And one of the things we talk about at Salt of Paul is to be a tool rather than act like one.
she said one specific thing to me this last Sunday, and she said, she's like, you're the one person that has never gave up on me. And I started crying right
there. Yeah, totally.
I started crying right there. I mean, because she you could tell that, I mean.
She really meant that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just imagine that, the light that you are for this woman. And I'm sure that's not an isolated case there, because I watch you with a lot of people. You know, I pay attention when I see kindness in people. It just warms my heart. And so that's what I see when you work with those people who are clearly struggling, and yet you know, you're just gentle and patient and kind. So I'm sure that it's more than just her that experiences that from you. Gosh darn. Such a crybaby. but that's tremendous. So do you have a faith of sorts, or some kind of, where does that come from for you? Because obviously, you know, you said it, this is beyond what I know how to do, and yet there you are, here it comes. So where does, like, what do you count Like, how do you account for that?
God.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I've lived with probably 10 or more different families through my high school career.
Wow.
And within those 10 families were numbers of different religions.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's not that they instilled the power of Christ, our Lord, into me. My mom did that. My mom, she was very, very, God does everything for us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But as far as a specific religion, no. Okay,
yeah.
But I believe that there is a higher power that has definitely got me to where I am.
I agree.
Because I could have went so many different paths.
Totally.
So many different paths.
Sure.
And I believe he continues to bless me simply because I've experienced it myself. If I've done something that hasn't been righteous,
mm-hmm.
isn't something that I shouldn't be doing, and the reflects whatever happens later down the road, I mean,
sure.
isn't what it should be. It's bad, right? And then when I do something good, good things happen.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, it's like, I love that, you know, that there you are being a blessing to others, and that what one of the sayings that we have around here uses, what blesses one blesses all. And so when you're being a blessing, you can't help but be blessed
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Yeah. I mean, my girlfriend and I, Vanessa, we love going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate that we work Sundays because, I mean, the Life Center here at Spokane, that's something that always gets our week going. And
well,
so we love hearing it. We love being a part of it. But, I mean, if it wasn't up, it's not up to me. It's up to God.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I really hear your willingness to be of service to others and to put yourself out there in whatever way is beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have your background in and you're a licensed personal trainer, right?
That's what I'm certified.
Yeah. And in the little bit that we talked the other day, you were talking about you're taking classes. And
mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what, like, how did you get to this place and what are you doing now?
Yeah. So, I mean, after high school, my plan was to, getting through high school, my plan was to go into the military because that's all I thought that I would be kind of useful for. I wanted to make something out of myself and I wanted that kind of structure.
Sure.
But I met my girlfriend and I ended up staying, right? And it was the best decision I could ever make.
Yeah.
Best decision. But during my high school career, I always had that service of helping people.
Mm-hmm.
I was in ROTC. I wanted to make sure that I can continue servicing people. So my plan was to ultimately become a police officer and then maybe in the future, a personal trainer, right?
Got it.
Then I had the opportunity of becoming a personal trainer. And
so you were on the sort of path to become a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Were you involved in sports in high school? Were you
mm-hmm.
athletic in high school?
Yeah, I played football, and then I was on the track team as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of experience with training and
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. So then you became a personal trainer.
Yeah.
And did you start working for Move Fitness right away, or did you work other places first?
It was right away.
Uh-huh.
Right away. I mean, I guess where it came down to me becoming a personal trainer was simply because I know how health and fitness helped my life.
Yes.
Depression, anxiety, always stressful. I didn't really talk in high school with
uh-huh.
a lot of people, so I kept everything to myself. So how I released it was working out,
mm-hmm.
and how that brought me up to where I am now. I mean, I know that it could do the same for other individuals.
Absolutely.
And so continuing on with my education, I mean, my plan is to, yes, get my exercise science degree. That's something that I want.
Fantastic.
So that way I do have credibility behind my name as well. And then continuing with other certifications as well, as far as kettlebell, TRX, functional training, exercise correction, everything that like that, I do want to incorporate as well.
So when you got your certification and then you started training people, was there a period of time that you were assigned people? How does that work?
So when you become a personal trainer, in the company of Move Fitness, you go through a probation period of where you can't touch anyone until they feel comfortable and you acquire that kind of certification too.
Got
so
it.
That way, I mean, you're not gonna hurt that client,
right? Got it.
In the process of starting, you're shadowing most of the time,
mm-hmm.
Just learning what it takes to be a trainer, the ropes, and then as well as how to kind of promote yourself too, to kind of bring people in so that you could work with them. And once you go through that, then they start giving you individuals that don't have really big injuries, they don't have big limitations,
yes.
but are just going for losing weight or gaining muscle. Okay, and then once your knowledge expands, once your education expands and you feel comfortable, then you start talking to the fitness director about, okay, hey, maybe I could start taking people with rotator cuff injuries or
right.
with postural imbalances, anything like that. And then it's just basically based off how well you grow. And I mean, you tell them what you can work with, what you feel comfortable with, and then that's who.
You've started to work more and more with those people who have more limitations
oh, yeah.
and then needing rehabilitation for injuries and things like that, like the woman that you described.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when I see you with clients, it seems like that a lot of the people that they have you or that you work with are people who are really struggling to just be functional
Absolutely.
In life. And that's extraordinary. I mean, that is just, I watch the progress, because I've watched, I think I know the woman you're talking
mm-hmm.
about. And I've seen the progress that she's made in just a short time. And so when you get people and you move them in that way, what's that like for you?
It's gratifying. I mean, it's, whether it's how much I get paid, how little I paid,
yeah.
I love what I do.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I've had someone lose 140 pounds in
Whoa.
6 months. I've had someone get off their anti-anxiety medication, antidepressant medication, and just say, thank you. You didn't give up on me. You helped me. That, just those little things
yeah.
make me want to do what I want to do.
Yeah. And so has your focus now changed in terms of, you had talked about, you know, maybe the military or being a police officer. Are those things that are still of interest to you, or are you now more focused on, I mean, because it seems to me like we all have a meant to be,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like in some way or form or fashion, this is part of that for you.
You know, I think this was my meant to be. I mean, ultimately, I would love to run a club
mm.
because I could instill my passion, my commitment, my love for individuals into other trainers as well. And then they could do the same while still me overseeing those people, those clientele,
sure.
The trainers as well. So, I mean, I think this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's awesome. Isn't that funny? I mean, it may have seemed like it wasn't going to be something permanent,
yeah.
and yet then you know, like those gifts start to shine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. It's just a privilege to watch what you do with people.
Well, thank
and,
you.
You know, I know that other people notice what's going on there, and it's pretty amazing.
When you approached me that one day, when I mean, I see what you do, and it's completely made my week, honestly.
Oh, awesome.
Made my week.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, a lot of times I think we don't acknowledge sometimes, and so I really do want to acknowledge you that I can see the difference you're making, and obviously your clients do too. But it's not just, you know, you're making a difference for your clients, but those people who see what you're doing, there's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And that's inspiring. You know, so I just want to thank you for what you do and encourage you to keep doing it, because it's not just making a difference for you, it is, and the people you work with, but it's making a difference for the world.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And that's how we get this world that works for everyone, is you doing what you're doing.
Amen.
Yeah. So if people wanted to work with you, or they wanted to talk to you or get in touch with you, what would be the best way that you would like people to do that? We'll have your information on the episode, but what would you say to the person that would like to get in touch with you.
So I'll put my email on there, my social media connections as well, or contact. But then also, I work at the North facility for Move Fitness, so calling that number.
And that's in Spokane,
and
Washington.
And that's in Spokane, Washington. And then asking for the Weekend Fitness director down there, one of the managers. And then basically they'll get you scheduled in my book, or they'll have you come meet with me, and then we'll sit down, do our evaluation, our talk, and then we'll get you going.
Yeah, and there may be, you know, there may be somebody who doesn't live in Spokane, but would want to talk to you about what's going on for them in terms of their fitness.
Absolutely.
Are you open to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Over my email, I mean, 24 hours.
Fantastic. Well, appreciate you being on the show, and we would love to check in with you and another time and have you back and see what's going on.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, and join us next time where you get to meet another extraordinary person who's doing extraordinary good and spreading positivity. Thank you. We love you. We'll see you next time.